You're listening to a Frequency Podcast Network production in association with City News.
If you're listening to this in British Columbia, then I apologize for playing for you what are by now the sounds of your daily life. But if you're listening to this from anywhere else in Canada, then I think it's important that you really understand what life in BC sounds like right now.
I'm live in front of Abbotsford City Hall right now, and we're bringing you some breaking news here. There are some evacuation alerts in different parts of the city tonight.
What little community centers we have and resources we have are being completely sucked dry. You know, we have nowhere to house these people. We can't get out because the highway is closed.
All of a sudden, the road was wiped out. We slammed on the brakes. Two cars in front of us turned around and went back. And something just told me that we got to go forward and see if there's somebody in there. And there was.
They're evacuating cows from WestGen over here with boats. This is a disaster, a local state emergency.
I've lived here for 68 years. I've not seen this kind of rainfall in those 68 years.
People in southwestern British Columbia, Vancouver Island, and the Sunshine Coast will be limited to 30 liters per visit to the gas station.
Similar to the early days of the pandemic, some grocery stores are placing limits on certain items.
Abbotsford comes up for a breath as water levels begin to recede in parts of the city and the breached Fraser River, relieving pressure on the Barrowtown pump station, which is critical to keeping the Sumas Prairie from becoming a lake again.
Sirens blaring from the U.S., a signal the Nooksack River is overflowing. It breached its dike this afternoon, hours after the city of Abbotsford put out a new evacuation order for the Huntington Village area of the city.
We're looking at 2 days of heavy, sustained rain coming to an area that can ill afford it. Just look around. There's really nowhere for this water to go.
This storm may not have the same level of intensity as we saw mid-month in some of our hardest hit areas, such as the Fraser Valley. But the cumulative effect of this succession of storms will be and continues to be a major challenge.
After the initial storm flooded BC more than a week ago, a lot of Canadians moved on from this story. There's a lot going on in the world right now, after all. But I'm not sure that most of the country gets just how disrupted life is in BC right now, how incredible the cost of the damage and the rebuilding will be, or even how long it will take until things in the province are back to something resembling normal. In Canada, we are worried about a new COVID variant. In British Columbia, people are worried about having enough food and gas and being able to travel the highways safely if evacuation becomes necessary. So what's it really like to live and work in BC right now? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story. Monica Gould is the morning reporter at City News 1130 in Vancouver. They've been covering the disaster unfolding across the entire province. Hi, Monica.
Hi, Jordan. How's it going?
It's going a lot drier where I am in Toronto than it is where you are, I'm sure.
Yeah, although I have family in Ontario, so I know you guys have had a bit of snow, which we've avoided. I don't know if that's good or bad, though, given the situation.
We're going to talk about what the snow might mean, I guess. But as we speak right now, it's Tuesday afternoon in Toronto and in BC. What's the situation there right now in terms of this third atmospheric river, which I understand is happening as we speak?
Yeah, it's I just actually got home not long ago and it's pouring rain. My street in particular, it's a bit of a slope and there's just this rain, just water just sliding down my street. So yeah, this atmospheric river, it's the third one that's hitting our province in essentially the last week. So it's happening right now, and essentially all the communities that have been hard hit by the previous atmospheric rivers and the previous storms, they're all just kind of bracing themselves to see what this additional rain means for them, what impact it will have. The province actually just provided an update, essentially telling people to be careful, just warning people of this latest rainfall, and telling people that, you know, there could be more evacuations. Rivers are rising, so everyone's just kind of anxiously, nervously waiting to see what this storm will bring.
What would another really bad storm do to the situation there? I'm trying to get a picture, I guess, of how precarious it is in some of these communities that have already been hit hard.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, some of these communities haven't even really fully recovered from the first big storm, which was now just over 2 weeks ago. Some of these places still have flooding. It didn't fully go away. People haven't even had a chance to go home yet to see what it looks like. So if it's really bad, I mean, we'll see the rivers go up again. Some of them could breach their banks or overflow their banks. Although I will say there's been so much preparation ahead of this storm and, you know, the last two that we got this week. So much work, effort to, you know, reinforce and bolster dikes. Many communities have been even rising them as high as they could, you know, adding in a few feet just to make sure that even if these rivers do swell and do go up, the chances of them overflowing is at least reduced. But I mean, yeah, we would see flooding, worsening flooding in some areas that are already hard hit. And we could even see some landslides and mudslides, just like we saw 2 weeks ago. In fact, the province will be closing at least one of the major highways again today as a precaution. It's actually a highway that 2 weeks ago did have a fatal mudslide. A few people passed away. So I think they're trying to obviously avoid you know, a tragedy like this again. And you know, they're closing a highway to prepare. So it's, yeah, a few things could happen if the storm ends up being really bad.
Aside from the sheer just amount of water that comes down, what's making this flooding so bad? What is that extra water, the constant extra water coming in, doing to the other factors in this disaster?
Yeah, well, one place that this water is coming from outside of the rain is the snow, the snowpacks. You know, in BC, we're blessed with beautiful mountains. Some snow has already been falling on the tops this month. So some of that snow is melting on some of these warmer days. It's coming down and it's adding to the water. We're also hearing from, you know, scientists and meteorologists who say that logging and wildfires is part of the reason that we're seeing this flooding. Both of those things change the ground, change the slope, and change the ground's ability to absorb water, rain, you know, snowpacks, melting snow.
Huh.
So
yeah.
There are these additional things that are sort of contributing to this flooding. And with the rain, you know, yeah, we mentioned the atmospheric river, but it is also just this, you know, one after the other after the other. It's just, you know, some communities haven't been able to catch their breath. So it's a combination of things that are sort of causing what we're seeing today.
You mentioned the initial storm and the disaster that happened a couple weeks ago. You know, we covered it then. We covered what happened in Abbotsford, and we can talk about that in a minute. But just what's the process been like over the last couple of weeks? You know, how much had things improved and then gotten worse again? You know, you mentioned one highway that had a fatal mudslide had reopened and may now be closed again. Like, what's been happening in terms of just back and forth and up and down?
Yeah, it really kind of feels like, you know, one step forward, two steps back, continuous progress, but it's with these storms kind of over our head and knowing that more rain is on the way, you know, nothing really feels like it's necessarily been fixed completely. You know, in terms of the roads, I mean, there were some major highways that didn't really reopen until, you know, several days after that initial storm. And even then, they were only open to essential, you know, trucks and essential vehicles. Yeah, as you mentioned, there's a highway that's closing again as a precaution. There's the one main highway that is, used as a connector. Essentially, it's the main highway that many people use when they go from the greater Vancouver area to BC's interior. It's called the Coquihalla. It's literally a highway just like in the mountains. And that one got really hit hard 2 weeks ago. There's just multiple sections of it that just completely washed away or collapsed in the storm with the floods and the mudslides. And that one, there is work ongoing to try to fix that. But I think the earliest they said there would be maybe a temporary fix is sometime early next year. So that's you know, weeks and weeks away. So it's, you know, in terms of the roads, it's still very precarious. In terms of the flooding, you know, similar situation. Some of the communities are still underwater, still seeing areas underwater. People haven't been able to go to their homes or, you know, they're just only now being able to return home and assess the damage. And, you know, it's hard to say if anything's necessarily improved from 2 weeks ago. I mean, in some ways it has. Mm-hmm. But once again, with these storms this last week, it's been just this constant watchful eye on the next storm that's coming. You know, a lot of the focus has just been on preparations and fixing breaches, sandbagging, you know, putting protections where we can. That generally has been the focus. Recovery hasn't been really top of mind just yet.
You mentioned at the beginning that you have some family in Ontario. I know you have colleagues across the country and probably know folks across the country. Does the rest of Canada grasp what it's like to live in parts of BC right now? Like, it just seems like it must be really tough and ever-changing.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I've definitely had friends text me, reach out. I had a couple who are thinking of visiting in December and January, and they're just kind of like, should I come? I don't know what is the flooding situation? You know, will I even be able to come, you know, during my planned trip? So I think there definitely is an awareness, and I know it's been sort of the big top story nationally for the last few weeks. I do think maybe rest of Canada might not understand just how, you know, widespread the issues are. It's not just, you know, one community or one area that we're talking about. The fatal landslide that happened 2 weeks ago is like hours drive away from Abbotsford, which is one of the communities that has been hard hit. And Abbotsford is hours away, you know, from Hope and Merritt and these other communities that have been hard hit. So it's just, it's so many different parts of BC have been affected in different ways. You know, I don't know necessarily if, you know, a coverage, a few minute story necessarily sort of grasps just how widespread this problem is.
What has the government response been like? I know there were issues at the very beginning about not using the emergency alert system. Since then, what have they done? And I guess, how has it gone over with the general public?
Yeah, I think there's definitely been a change in the response from the province since that first storm hit 2 weeks ago. As you mentioned, there was a bit of criticism that, you know, people didn't get a heads up. The province didn't really talk about that storm that was incoming ahead of time. The alert wasn't used. And since then, you know, now every storm, before every storm, the province is putting out a release. It's doing regular updates now pretty much every day. There's a press conference just kind of talking about the latest. There is financial help being made available for people, about 2,000 for those who have been evacuated. Local governments have also obviously been doing their part. Sandbagging's been available. There are emergency operation centers open for those who, you know, aren't able to stay at home because they've been evacuated. So there are, you know, various supports from various levels of government, but the province, yeah, it's definitely stepped up its communication since that initial storm. There'll be assessments, I'm sure, after this in terms of whether the response from the government has been adequate enough.
What about the supply chain in general? I know, again, in the aftermath of the initial storm, which I keep coming back to because I do feel like, you know, a lot of the national media, including us, zipped in to kind of cover that storm and what was happening from it, and then, you know, moved on to covering a new COVID variant. But from what I understand, there are still supply chain issues. I understand fuel's being rationed. I know a week or so ago, we saw pictures of empty grocery shelves in places in BC. What's that like right now?
Yeah, it's it almost seems like it depends where you are. Even when those pictures were emerging and certain grocery stores were completely empty, there was folks in another city that were saying, "Oh, my grocery store is completely fine." So it really does seem to sort of depend on where you live and where when the last time a particular grocery store was maybe stocked up. But even aside from that, there are still definitely indications of some sort of supply chain issue. I was just at a drugstore, Shoppers Drug Mart, and the self-checkout actually didn't have any grocery bags. And it even had a sign that said, due to supply chain issue, we don't have any shopping bags. Huh. I was at a McDonald's drive-through about a week and a half ago, and they had a sign that said, "We don't have any fries," which was pretty, shocking to me, a McDonald's without French fries. So there are there's definitely clear indications. Even, I ordered something online a few days ago, and it even said at the top to customers in BC, "Your delivery might take a few days longer because of the supply chain issue." So there are these, it's nothing, severe. You're able to still get groceries. I went a few days ago and was able to get what I needed. Didn't necessarily see too many empty shelves. There are still hints of supply chain issues, but nothing too, serious. But yeah, when it comes to the gas, that is where it's definitely most notable. The province has put a limit. Essentially, non-essential drivers are expected to fill up only 30 liters at a time. And it was supposed to, the order for that was supposed to lift early December, but they've extended it till mid-December now. And one of the reasons is that the Trans Mountain pipeline has been offline since 2 weeks ago, and they're still kind of struggling to bring it back up and running. So I think once that's up and running, we could see that sort of restriction on gas lifted. But as it stands, that's sort of, I think, the biggest impact people are seeing it day to day when it comes to the supply chain issues.
It's funny that you mention no French fries at McDonald's, because on the face of it, that kind of sounds funny, like, big problem. I couldn't get my fries with my burger. But it must be those kind of things that add up and add up and add up all across a province to eventually maybe get the message across to people that, like, life is different now. The issues that BC is facing are changing just the small everyday things that people take for granted.
Yeah, I think there definitely is this realization, and climate change keeps coming up as well. BC has been, so hard hit throughout this year. I remember I spoke with you earlier in the summer when Lytton, most of it was burned because of, a wildfire. There has been that heat dome that we experienced throughout the summer that actually was fatal for many people. So it's been just such a, I want to say crazy. It almost seems like it's an underwhelming word to describe it, but it's been such an eventful, in a bad way, year for BC when it comes to weather events. And just climate change keeps coming up. And there's that realization that, what people said would happen in the future seems to be happening right now today in BC.
The one specific place I do want to ask you about before we close off is Abbotsford, just because it was the first one in the news. And, when we covered it, people were hoping that the dike would hold and that the pumping station would be okay. That happened, thankfully. But I understand that with the Nooksack River still rising, that this place is in serious danger. Do we know what's happening sort of as of now and what could happen with this new storm?
Yeah, well, last we heard from the mayor yesterday afternoon, he actually was optimistic, I will say. Part of it is that there's just been so much preparations. The military's been in, community has been rallying together, filling sandbags, and there's been so much work that's been happening over the last few days. So there is real hope that even with today's storm, they will be hopefully okay, or at least won't see worse flooding. But it really just depends on the Nooksack River, what it does. And it's just so hard to predict some of these things because it is so dependent on the weather, and forecasting can only go so far. How a river will react with the added water depends. As it stands, the Sumas Prairie in Abbotsford is still underwater in some areas. And they're just like really hoping that the amount of water that comes down with this storm will be enough for them to be able to handle with the preparations that they've made so far.
Last question, and I know we've all got our fingers crossed that the preparations are enough in Abbotsford and everywhere, and that, you know, this storm hopefully does the least damage of all of them. But whenever this rain trails off, you know, what's next? I know you mentioned that it's tough to think about right now, but I'm sure the government and municipal governments are getting these questions. Like, how do you dig out from this? Because as you mentioned, it's everywhere across the province.
It's going to take months and years, I think, to fully recover out of this. I mean, early estimations already put the damage at the billions, in the billions. As a basic start, people are going to slowly, hopefully, return to their homes, and they're going to have to go through their things and assess the damage, you know, figure out what they can keep, what needs to be torn down, potentially, that kind of stuff. You know, there's farmers who have lost farm animals. I mean, there were hundreds of chickens and cows that were lost throughout that flooding 2 weeks ago. And for many farmers, that's their whole life. You know, some of these farms are multi-generational. It's been passed down through the family, and it's going to take years for some of these farmers. You know, some of them even have crops, right, that have been destroyed in the flooding. So it's going to take years for some of them to sort of get back to where they were, you know, a day before the storm from 2 weeks ago. In fact, one farmer, you know, even says it'll take some up to a decade to really get back to the profits and the work that they were seeing, you know, before the initial storm. So it's going to take so long. And even some of the roads, right, the Coquihalla, they're talking about temporary measures being potentially ready in the new year. But, you know, permanent fixes and, you know, permanent repairs will definitely take some time after that. So it's going to, you know, I think many communities are in for a bit of a long road here when it comes to recovery.
Monica, thank you for this. I know we'll all be thinking of you guys and hoping this is the last weather event you get for quite some time. And stay safe and take care.
Thank you so much. I will.
Monica Gould of City News 1130. That was The Big Story. For more from us, head to thebigstorypodcast.ca. Find us on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN. If you need the latest news on what is happening in British Columbia, you can find it from City News 1130 at vancouver.citynews.ca. You can find The Big Story at TheBigStoryFPN on Twitter, and you can email us, TheBigStoryPodcast, all one word, at rci.rogers.com. This podcast is available in every podcast player and on smart speakers. Just ask your favorite assistant to play The Big Story Podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.